Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 36, 5 through 10 are the verses. I invite you to follow along in your pew Bible or simply listen for the Word of God as I read these words from the psalmist.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your salvation to the upright of heart. This is the word of the Lord. At the annual meeting of the Society of Christian Ethics just a couple of weeks ago where I attended in Toronto, the keynote address was by a religious scholar from Germany who said something so utterly simple and utterly profound that it brought me up short. He said that the axial moment of human history and the axial moment of human development is the moment of self-transcendence. Now, I had to think about that for a second. It's such a simple thought. Self-transcendence. Transcending self to look at others. Transcending self to look at the world. He was suggesting that that's the axial moment, the pivotal moment of religion in history, but also the pivotal moment for every human being. A moment where we actually ponder not just ourselves, but others. When we can actually get out of ourselves, out of our skin, just a little bit to enter the skin of another person, the place of another person. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. And it very much corresponds to another very simple statement by the ancestor of Presbyterians, John Calvin, in his magnum opus, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, perhaps two of the most important volumes ever written. He begins with an utterly simple statement. He says that all knowledge, all true wisdom, are two: knowledge of self and knowledge of God. Seems pretty self-evident, doesn't it? But then he goes on to explain. If we ponder ourselves very deeply for very long, then our eyes will ascend into the heavens from whence we have come to ponder God. And then he goes on to say that to ever truly know ourselves, we have to ponder the face of God, in whose image we have been created. And then later in book two of the Institutes, he expands on that just a bit when he says that to really understand who we are, the height to which we have been created, the nobility in which we are created, we have to ponder the heights of God to understand the depths to which we have fallen. But to really understand the depth to which we have fallen, we must rise again to ponder the nobility of the image in which we are created. For the two are necessary. The two are a part. The two are a part of what it means to live. In fact, what Calvin says is that grace precedes sin. Did you know that? Grace precedes sin. To even know sin, we have to ponder God and God's gracious gifts to us. To even know the depths to which we have fallen, to even know it, to even ponder it deeply, we have to ponder the grace to which we have been called. Now, I think in a different way, albeit, Martin Luther King has something similar to say, certainly in the March to Washington, when at the end of the march, he left the script to say this, by the way. He left a script to say, you know, in spite of the present difficulties that we are in, I still have a dream. I still have a dream that every valley shall be lifted up, and one day, whites and blacks and browns, Jews and Catholics and Protestants, and I think today he would say Muslims, will rise up by the power of the Spirit to say, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. And in a very similar vein, on the night before he was assassinated, it was again a departure from the script when he said, my friends, I have been to the mountaintop. I have been to the mountaintop, and while longevity has its place, and everybody should like longevity, I'm not thinking about that now. I'm thinking about doing the will of God, and I've been to the mountaintop, and I've seen the other side. I have seen the promised land. Now, what I want to suggest to you this morning is this, that all of those examples are of a piece. They are of a piece of the examined life. They are of a piece of what it means to do self-transcendence, to what it means to ponder the height to which we have been created and which we are called and restored in order to understand the depths to which we have fallen. They are all of a piece of understanding the dream that God has given for us all, of understanding the mountaintop and the vision of the promised land beyond it. They are a piece of what I call the examined life, for without examination, as the quote attributed to Socrates suggests, the unexamined life is not worth living. It's what I call the contemplative. I've been talking a lot about that of late. In fact, I've talked about it in most of my ministry, and I know that some people have a terrible misconception of what that is, the contemplative. The contemplative, I think some people think, is just navel-gazing or self-indulgence or something like that. And, you know, I can understand how people feel that. I can understand how people would have a conception of that because, I mean, after all, spirituality now is relegated to the self-help section of the bookstores. And if you Google the contemplative or anything like that, it will take you to sites that are more like the therapeutic or something like that. But I would contend to you that the contemplative is the opposite of the self-indulgent. It is the very opposite. In fact, it's the remedy. It's the examined life. It's to move to the mountaintop and to peer to the other side. It's to dream the dream that King had for us all. The dream that God gave to King. It's to ponder the heights to which we are created in order to understand the depths to which we have fallen and are being redeemed. As Wendy Farley says, the contemplative is about shattering the self-indulgent. It's about getting us out of ourselves to see others fully, to ponder others fully. That's why I'm a big advocate of the contemplative. That's why I encourage it, because it's about the lifeblood of everything we're about. It's about visions. It's about going to the mountain and seeing the other side. You see, Martin Luther King was a contemplative. He was. He was a mystic in his own right. Little known but true, he was a follower of Howard Thurman, and some of you know some of the writings of Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was a pre-reformer. He was a pre-civil rights figure who worked in the 20s and 30s and 40s, established the very first multiracial church in San Francisco. He was a dean at Howard Divinity School, but he was a mystic first and foremost. Howard Thurman had a mystical vision of God and what human life can be before God, and it got him out of himself and his dilemma to envision a different world. He wrote an article, a profound article, entitled The Socialist Project and Mysticism. And in that article, he says the socialist progress is a very, very good thing, but without mysticism, without a full embodiment of the vision of God for all of who we are, the socialist project will fall short. And this is what he said. He said, the vision of God, this mystical vision of what God has given to us, says this to us: wherever there is poverty, then I am poor. Wherever there is a criminal, then I am a criminal. Wherever there are jails, then I am not free. It is that mystical vision of the interconnectedness of all of life before God that every justice seeker needs. Otherwise, it does seem to me that justice seeking is only a matter of patronage. It's only a matter of inflicting our own egos upon something else, our own indulgences upon others. In fact, to really see with mystical eyes, to really see what King saw, what Thurman saw, what the prophet saw, what Jesus saw, who was, in my mind, also a contemplative, is to see in every human being a child of God. In every human being. In every human being, the Christ in the other. And don't you see, this is what self-transcendence is about, is to get out of ourselves to see what God wants us to see, to feel what God wants us to feel, and to do what God wants us to do. This is the essence of what the psalmist was trying to get at when the psalmist says, in your light, O God, we see light. It is only in the light of God that we can see, that we can truly see the height to which we have been created, and the depths to which we have fallen and been restored in Christ. It is in the light of God that we gain the sense, a sense of who the other is. As a child of God, precious, created for nobility. In the John text before us, the wedding at Cana in Galilee, Jesus makes this vast quantity, this abundance of wine. So what's that about? Interestingly enough, John doesn't call it a miracle, he calls it a sign. And what it is a sign of the new age. It's a new age of the fulfilling of all that God has in mind for all of God's people. And did you know that in John's gospel, Jesus only gave us one commandment: to love one another as I have loved you. So that abundance of wine is a kind of intoxication of love. It's an intoxication that flows so abundantly through the life of Christ. It is flows so abundantly. If we can only find the space, just a little space to ponder it deeply. On this Martin Luther King Sunday, did you know that one of his most famous books was simply entitled The Strength to Love? And what he says about that is that if we can transcend our circumstances enough just to love a little, we could stand against the forces of evil in our society and they shall not overcome. So ponder it with me. Become contemplatives, mystics. If you have guilt, go to the mountaintop. Anxiety, fear, disappointment, I have it too. Discouragement, yes, go to the mountaintop. And ponder deeply the promised land that King saw. Ponder it deeply. Ponder the love in which we were created, the height, the nobility in which we have been restored in God. And then live into it. Amen.